Drop everything. It's the Chemist Warehouse half-price vitamin and cosmetic sale. Hurry, this sale won't last. Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Oh, best day of the week, Roo. It's a Thursday morning.
Oh, you'll be 10 out of 10 today, Ditz. Yes. I know you love your Thursday, so I'll just hand over to you this morning to just roll out a brilliant show.
What about the days at the moment? 22 again today. Beautiful out there.
Yeah, it's the last day, Ditz. It's the last day. Get out and sun your head.
Is it about to turn bad, is it?
Turn into a lizard out in the rock, just sunning yourself.
Really?
And then 4 days, 5 days even of rain coming up.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
That's all right.
You've got to get the good and the bad.
Yep, no.
And the rain's good too.
Yeah, very good. Very handy. So big day today. Brad Ebert will join us. We'll find out how he's going with concussion after Port's big win and see how far he is away.
Well, he went
away
to Melbourne last week to see a specialist, didn't he?
He did. We'll have a chat to him. We've got Limo coming on for a laugh. We've got the Angels coming up. We're going to speak to a bloke who won nearly $3 million in one of these lotteries that are going around at the moment, because you just never run into them, do you?
Well, we always talk about, you know, the hospital research home lottery. There's $1 million cash,
yep,
and a house on the seafront worth 1.9. And
that's
then,
right.
And you sort of think, oh, yeah, it's sold out. But I've never, you know, not that I'm skeptical or anything. Obviously,
yes,
there is. No, I'm not about this. But
I am.
Clearly, it's not dodgy. But you think, did someone really win that?
And who are they? And what are they doing now?
Well, we found someone that won it.
Have they blown it?
Yeah.
Or are they just sitting back smoking cigars?
Roo, there's a story that's really disturbing. You heard it in our news yesterday, but we want to follow up on it. And this is about volunteers in sporting clubs around Australia. It's one of the worst stories I've heard in years. So anyway, we're going to cover off on that later on this morning. Roo and Ditz on Triple M. Rory Sloan was on with the boys, the Rush Hour boys, yesterday afternoon, Roo, and he had a fair bit to say.
Yeah, he sure did.
Danger's one of the hardest players who's cracked in as hard as anyone throughout the competition
that
I've seen and played with. So no wonder the bloke's going to pull up sore every now and then. Absolutely.
What about the ice on the sock on the bench the other night and then on crutches walking over?
You've got to look after yourself, mate. That's a thing. And he never misses. He rarely misses games of footy, and that's because he's an absolute pro.
So sticking up for his former teammate there, Paddy Dangerfield, who's come in for some criticism.
Look, Danger is a professional and he does crack in hard. You cannot deny that. Does he milk it a little bit? I think it's fair to say at times. I think Chris Scott even said after the game it's part of the Danger show. But he's as tough as it gets in terms of the way he plays, and he does hardly ever miss. And that is not a combination that's usually goes hand in hand if you play like that. So I think Danger's got a lot of respect. Kane Corns mouths off a lot, but Danger's a very, very good footballer. So I think they're both a bit right with that one. Let's hear what Rory Sloan has to say about the SNFL players.
We've got a lot of guys, Jars, to your point, that are a bit stiff at the moment, who are certainly performing in the sample.
Will Himmelberg keep his spot?
We've been more than happy with his performance, and he's been outstanding for us. And I love that he's come into a forward line that hasn't had much change and really stood up when we've needed him. And it's not just there. I've loved his ruck work as well and his competitiveness in the ruck.
Will Jenkins return?
Very good game from Josh. From all reports, we didn't get to see it, but I mean, he's certainly going to cause a headache for our selectors this weekend. And that's what we've been asking of Josh to do, go back and just perform like that and really tear up that competition. And that's what we expect of him, and he's done that, so he'll be certainly putting his hand up for selection.
Throw a fit Matt Crouch, Wayne Miller, Paul Seedsman, Richard Douglas in. They're going to have an interesting selection night, Ditz.
Yep, very strong, and that was good. Rory Sloan on the Rush Hour yesterday afternoon with Jars and Louis. South Australian player who's had a wonderful career, who announced his retirement immediate, is Heath Grundy from the Swans. Reg, they call him. 256 games, and as he explains here, it's all about the hammer and tack.
Really struggling to get in the car and sit in the car on the way home and getting the kids, like the baby out of the cot. I couldn't get him out of the cot and pick him up off the ground and stuff. And you sort of think that's normal because you're always a bit sore from footy, but gets to a tipping point where it's just not, starts dragging you down every day. And that was sort of where it got to. So I think I thought I had to make a change.
He's been a very good player.
Yeah, just an underrated gem of the back line for the Swans. Like a lot of their players, they just get the job done, Ditz, and win premierships and make finals. But when you can't pick your baby out of the cot or get in and out of your car, I reckon it's time to hang up the boots.
Yep. For Essendon fans, Joe Danaher injured again. Will miss with a groin soreness.
Yeah.
So they've got his issues.
Got a few injuries there. Devin Smith's one of their star sort of mids forwards. He's out for a lot of the year as well. Razio Fantasia keeps getting injured. So I wouldn't want money on Essendon making the finals at the moment.
Now, in the cricket, Steve Smith made an impressive 76 yesterday against the West Indies in a World Cup practice match. But Usman Khawaja went off for scans after copping a bouncer to the jaw.
Wow.
Australia won by 7 wickets. And it's now been confirmed officially, Gert-Jan Verbeek will be Adelaide United's new coach on a 2-year contract, the Dutchman. That's our look at sport.
Coming up next, Mark McGill is going to talk to us all about Variety, the charity. They won the best variety charity arm in the world.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M ruined its for breakfast. Now, Rui, we hear a lot about Variety. You know, it's a worldwide organisation, right?
Yep.
But we know they do an enormous job here.
Yep, sure do.
In fact, they do such a good job. Variety here in South Australia has just been named the best in the world. So our office here and all the fundraising they do, the best in the world.
That is amazing. It is an unbelievable charity. I did hear this at the Variety Showdown lunch the other week with the captains and the coaches and Dom Cassisi, and we were talking about it on the radio here. But the best in the world now. It all starts at the head, doesn't it?
Certainly does. The man who heads it up here is a good mate of ours, Mark McGill. Sav, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Congratulations.
Thank you. Should I say bonjour? Because I've obviously just coming back from Quebec. My French is right at the top of its game.
Okay.
How did you go? So you had to go over to Canada to get the award.
Yes, Roo. It was each year we have an international conference. We hosted that actual conference last year.
Right.
But this year it was in Quebec City in Canada, and as you say, we were fortunate enough or did a good job enough to get the chocolate. So yeah, the Gold Heart Award. So we're very very pleased on behalf of everybody.
And why and how do you win it, Sav? What do you do here in South Australia that's better than the rest?
Well, it's quite there's a set of criteria. It's that basically the judging panel judge every office on, so that's about your profitability, your net result that you contribute back to the community, the gross result. Interestingly, one of the criteria was about cents per capita, and this is a great credit to all South Australians who support Variety in that we generate $3.74 per head of population in South Australia, which is pretty much at the top of its game within Variety. So that's the sort of criteria. So, but we beat a fairly solid field. The finalists included a little country called Great Britain, New Zealand, and others. So yes, it was a great thrill.
I think I heard that Variety helped 41,000 South Australian kids in 2018. That is unbelievable.
Absolutely, Roo, and you hit it on the head. And going back half a step, one of our great strength, if not our great strength, is the depth of support that we receive from the community. And when I say that, we have a fantastic board, we've got brilliant staff, we've got a committee structure. We've got over 160 people on our committees, volunteer committees, plus with our entrants and people who attend functions. 2,000 go to the ball, etc. All that allows us to maximise our fundraising, which then in turn allows us to be more profitable, if that's the right term, and then assisting more children. But as you say, over 41,000 children is a fantastic result and is owned by everybody who supports Variety.
Now, Sav, I know you're a humble man, but seriously, it does start at the top. We can see how enthusiastic you always are, and therefore it filters down to the people below you, mate. So well done, and what a great result, being named the best office in the world for Variety. Well done.
Thank you, boys. Really appreciate your support, and as I say, it's a great reward for the many, many thousands of people who contribute to Variety, and every single one of them, volunteers, entrants, board, etc., own that recognition, and we couldn't be more thrilled to get it home safely.
You must be due to go on the bash soon again too. Speaking of junkets and going to Canada and that, you're hardly get your clothes washed and get them packed again.
You know, that's fantastic. I'll the Sofitel at Tipperary.
Oh, yeah. Sleep out under the five stars.
Yeah, she's more than five star up there. There's plenty of stars.
Great,
good on you, Sav.
On you, Sav. Well done.
Thanks, boys.
There he is.
Bonsoir.
Yeah, bonsoir. steak tartare and what else? Souffle. Mark McGill from Variety. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M 22 in Adelaide today. Cracker of a day coming up. Now, Roo, this story's so bad that you read it and then you go back and read it again and think, are they really serious here? Now, this is Cricket Australia. They have appealed for the dismissal of thousands of long-serving club volunteers around the nation. They're accusing people at clubs for hanging on too long past their best before date and they want to send them on their way. They're saying that it's a barrier to succession in your clubs. They've also sent out a memo with different headlines or different categories, sorry, of what you should look at. They've called some people gatekeepers, the person holding on with all the knowledge in the system that only they understand, so not passing any of the knowledge on to anyone else in the club, believing that they are irreplaceable. People accused of poor record keeping as well. So lack of formalised reporting or recording procedure. So again, so that no one else in the club can take over. Poor management, lack of volunteer management. They're talking about a fear of change culture. So, you know, blokes that have been on the committee forever and saying,
this is the way we're doing it.
Yeah, we did this for the last 20 years.
We've always done it this way, Ditz.
Now, Roo, whether it's Wakery Football Club or whether it's the local Lawn Bowls Club or whatever, what keeps your club going?
Well, volunteers.
Volunteers.
Volunteers do, Ditz. And I actually have been hesitant to even talk about this because I just can't believe an organisation like Cricket Australia could do it. I just think, has this been taken out of context? Are we not getting the full story here? I cannot believe that Cricket Australia would do this. Now, it's in a week, Ditz, which I'm led to believe is also National Volunteers Week.
Oh, good timing.
So smack them in the face of the people of that as well. That just goes on top of it.
Yep.
The best things in football or cricket or whatever clubs are you're not winning premierships, that's what you hear about. It's the relationships you make with the boot studders, the head trainers, the lady that runs the canteen, the people that clean the club rooms for nothing. They are the lifeblood of sporting clubs, no matter what sport you're in. The best day I've ever had in sport was at Broken Hill. There's a club up there called the Roos, and they have an award called the Top Roo. I went up there for a past player day, and every past winner of the award stood up while they sung their club song. It was absolutely brilliant. So the whole day was around rewarding the top volunteer in the club. And I just went, wow, I've been to Brownlow medals, I've been to Hall of Fame nights, I've been to all these different, you know, flashy shows, but I was sitting in Broken Hill on a Sunday drinking beer and going, this is the best football club day I've ever been involved with. And it was all about honouring the people that give up their time to make the football club the place that it is. So I read this yesterday and I thought, this has got to be wrong. This has got to be taken out of context. I've got it so wrong. If a sporting club out there hasn't got the brains to get rid of Macca, who's 75 and he's done a great job, but his time's up, you've got to be able to work that out, Ditz, don't you? If someone's hanging on too long, you've got to tap them on the shoulder if they're there for the wrong reason. You can't just go and put a blanket ban on anyone who's old and a volunteer and move them on, can you?
But also, we're all different.
Ridiculous.
There'll always be good and bad and mediocre. But what about
the club's got to make the right decision on that, don't they? You've been involved in running a soccer club at an amateur level.
We needed volunteers like you wouldn't believe.
Of course you do. And your job as president is to go and have the hard conversation with someone who's a pain in the ass, or reward all the people and encourage people to find more volunteers to survive.
The hardest thing we had to do, because you come in, there's one bloke that had been there for years and years and years, like 50 years, he'd been a player, but then he ran the bar, but he was drinking more than he was selling.
Yeah.
So talk about hard conversation. This bloke had given his life to the club and I had to tap him on the shoulder and say, mate, I'm sorry, but I'm taking you out of the bar. Well, he cracked it and lost it. And do you know what happened? A week later, he came back, he said, well, I'll cook the barbecue every week then. Now, I admired this bloke like you would not believe. And he did. He turned up every week and did the snags on the barbie. Now, he loved the joint. And they're the people we're talking about.
Exactly. But do it in a common sense, respectful way. It just does not come across right how this Cricket Australia email or letters come out. And I hope they've come out and said it. I haven't seen anything from anyone from Cricket Australia to say they've got it wrong. Hopefully I've missed it. But do you want to take some calls?
I do. I don't want to name people because you could too. I'm thinking of people right now. I could reel off heaps of them. Oh. But I know I've been at their cricket clubs, soccer club, footy clubs for 30, 40, 50 years. And without them, those clubs would have closed the doors.
Well, I'll name one. Johnny Matthews is a bloke who was a head trainer at the Wakery Football Club and still is. And he's been doing it for over 50 years. Mm. And while he did that, you know, most nights of the week for nothing and weekends, his wife, Judy Matthews, clean the footy club for nothing on the weekends.
There you go.
For nothing.
Yep.
And they wouldn't survive without it. And, you know, he's held in so high regard.
Mm. Unbelievable.
As a result.
I'd like it, because it is volunteer week, and just for the sake of this, to really, you know, let's all send a message to Cricket Australia to say how wrong you are. Please tell us about your volunteer.
Yeah.
133353, because they are magnificent people. And they're also characters, Roo. They make a club. They got that many stories.
The relationships you make with those people are worth more than the success on the field.
I want to say something because I think you'd relate to this and you'd probably have someone in mind as well. But I reckon it was Stephen Williams that said to me years ago, he was talking to a group of people, I heard him say that he said that the trainers, the bloke that do the rub down on the table, are the most important people in the change room, because when a new kid comes into your club, they're the blokes that whilst they're rubbing them down are telling them all the stories about the club or the culture of the club, and they're passing on that knowledge, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
They are vital to new people coming into the club to say, hey, when you play at this club, this is how we do things.
Yep, they've all got their role. There's no doubt about it. Let's give away a couple of Crows tickets to see them take on the Premiers this Saturday afternoon at Adelaide Oval. This is a big game for both clubs. If you want to go along, go to tickertech.com.au, but we're going to give away a double now. Give us a call about the volunteers at your club.
Triple M.
Leave it. Leans back. Slots the goal.
On Bruins Hits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert.
Brad Ebert from Port Adelaide, our special guest. Morning, Ebo.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Rui's, back in the eight.
Rui's not. Yes. He's still not well. He's forgotten our coffees. He's come in without coffees.
That is rule number one.
He'll get concussion from a different way in a minute, I tell you.
Oh, now,
last week you said you were off to Melbourne to see a specialist. How did it go?
It went well, as well as could be expected, So it was... I guess best case would have been, you know, they would have told me I'm sweet to play and stuff. But the neurologist that I caught up with Friday, he sort of looked at the scans, looked at the neuropsychological testing that I did the day before, and just recommended that I still take a few more weeks. So a few weeks. Yeah, and I guess they're making sure, you know. Yep. He said that, like, you're tracking well, all the results were positive, and there's no real cause for alarm. He just said that the neuropsych assessment probably showed that you're a little bit off. Well, it was almost like little brain busters, you know, little...
I'm interested
to
know.
Did he ask you about the train that was travelling at 38 k's an hour?
And they got me, yeah. Once again,
That's cruel, dude.
Yeah.
So what do they actually do?
Well, mate, there's a number of different things, and they're really just trying to test, like, all your psychological measures, I guess.
Understand what they're doing, or is it like a...
Yeah, no, no.
You're whacked up to a machine
It's very much like I'm just sitting across the table from... the neuropsych, who's a lady that's worked in boxing, and that's where she sort of made her name, I guess, was working with boxers and that over a number of years. And then she's worked into the football world and, started studying the whole football side of concussion. So she's seen a lot of people, and then she's able to make assessments off of tests that we do. So it was memory recall. It was, she'd give you different things, computer, laptop, desk, you know, like phone. She had to name these things, and you had to name it back, and then she changed the things. And then she had these dice that you had to sort of play around with. It was quite interesting that you had to make shapes with, and so it was really testing all facets of your
Has anyone told you you're going to be get back to 100% absolutely no doubt, or saying there's a chance that, you know, you might have some cumulative effects of playing football and head knocks?
Well, no, I think the cumulative effects is probably what I've shown the last few weeks with the way that I was sort of feeling and stuff after a bigger concussion. Whereas the weeks before that were just little knocks that were probably attributing to the more serious one. And so, the way that the neuropsych and the neurologist were talking was confident that I was going to get back to 100%. They said even at the end of the testing that, you know, you're showing that you're pretty good and you're getting back to full strength. But the way the brain is, they were saying that if you're not at 100%, then you're...
Well, they're not going to risk you. They don't take any risks. Nah. Even on game day now, if someone gets a knock, the doctor will not give you any chance of going back out there, even if you look them in the eye and saying, I am effing going out and playing because I want to win this game.
They'll say, hang on, you're showing too much aggression.
They will. It's changed. It's definitely changed. There's no risk policy.
And I think it's good. And, yep. And that's where it's, you know, it's hard not playing and watching the boys play on the weekend and that, you just feel as if you wanted to be a part of it. But at the same time, you know within yourself that if you're not 100% right, you're putting yourself at risk of re-injuring, and I think that because of the fact that I had those knocks, you know, previously, they're just making sure that if you keep getting them, that's when the long-term effects can really
last. So you went and did a little bit of jogging. They showed that on the news last week, and then as a result of that, you felt a bit tired the next couple of days, so you've backed off a little bit just to...
Yeah, a little bit.
Let the body recover a bit more.
Yeah, pretty much on Saturday we actually ramped it up a bit, and I was doing a fair bit of, you know, high speed, and probably got back into sort of 200-300 meter efforts, and probably just didn't pull up as well as what I hoped at the end of those sort of longer efforts. So because of the fact that I was already having a few more weeks off anyway, they're then just going to make sure, and so I jumped on the bike and did a session on Tuesday, and I'll run again today. So. Yeah, it's tracking along nicely.
Small steps, eh?
Yeah, it's tracking along nicely, but just making sure.
Brad, I don't know if I can draw a correlation here or not, but Heath Grundy announced today, or yesterday, immediate retirement because he says my back is no good, and he's talking about not being able to pick his own baby up and things like that. Mm. I mean, this is the serious part of football, the serious side of it. For you to be told now that you're still a few weeks away, are you worried? I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but are you worried about anything along those lines?
No, I'm not. And I guess as a player, you're always making sure that, you know, you're putting yourself, when you go out and play, you are 100% and you are good to go. And I'm confident that I'm going to be back at that and be fine to go. So a few people have, you know, asked the question. I think it's just that unknown around concussion. That's the reason why people probably get a little bit nervous of it. And there have been a number of players that have, you know, retired due to concussion, but...
well, I couldn't even remember if I had grandparents alive yesterday.
Jeez, I don't know if I want to hear that.
I'm not joking.
you do get forgetful at the best of times, Rudy.
All right, we'll give you a little rest and we'll come back with more. Brad Ebert in just a moment here on Triple M.
Triple M.
Ebert leans back, slots the goal.
On Bruins Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert.
Oh, Brad Ebert. Now, we know where there are some fanatical supporters out there. We just wanted to play this clip to you. This was on the Channel 9 News a couple of nights ago.
Yes.
I did have the final say, yeah. So we probably picked it out maybe 2 years ago. So, yeah.
So if you had a boy, what if it was a girl?
We actually had Grey picked out for a girl's name.
The tradition had to continue. Mm. After naming the first one Treadray, it was only fitting that Boat got a kid named after him.
Yeah, so they've got two kids. One's called Treadray, one's called Boak.
Yes. Yep. That's, I'm a little bit disappointed there's no Ebert.
No. Bert. Bert. Look, I'm about to renovate Bert at my place. I'm going to put a bar in. Yes. And I'm giving you, I'm not going to name my kids or my dog or anything, but I'm going to give you a beer tap.
Oh,
is that all right?
I'm pumped with
I
the beer.
I couldn't give you the Brad Ebert bar, but I'll give you a beer tap.
Yeah, no, that's right. Who's getting the bar? Who's
probably Russell, I think.
Yeah, Russell. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Yep.
Very tight bunch of supporters, boys. You should be proud of them.
Yes, mate. That's very enthusiastic, and that's awesome. Yeah.
Hey, good game last weekend. Took a while to get going over the Suns, but got there and had a good win in the end.
Yeah, mate. I thought it was impressive. Like I said before, watching from the stands, that first half, you just weren't quite sure how it was all panning out. Mm. And I felt like we had enough of the ball. We had enough opportunities, which was probably, you know.
They had a few early too, didn't they?
But they did. They did. And then, to the boys' credit, I saw, 43-9 or something inside 50s in the second half.
Yeah, smashed them
after. So I just felt
quarter time.
Yeah, the boys were really able to overrun them and... yeah, get some opportunities and kick some goals. Billy Frampton kicks some.
Looks
Cam
good,
Farrell.
Billy.
Frampton,
he does.
Good.
And what about like even in the wet, he was still able to juke a couple, which
and a good kicking action.
Yeah, he does. He does, and that's in front of goals. He's always had a real strong set shot. It's just being able to then maintain that consistency across the game, and mate, AFL level, he stood up and showed it. So that was good.
Big Bird, Joel Garner, he looked good too. I was surprised.
What is his nickname down at the club?
Well, at the moment it's just Yarns or Garns. So we've got to go better than that, don't we?
Were you out and about when Joel Garner was doing his best for the West Indies?
I reckon I would have just been growing up as he was finishing up.
Oh, yeah. So he was my idol when I was a kid. I wanted to be black because of Joel Garner.
And I think everyone jumped on the West Indies bandwagon for a while there. Yeah,
he was huge. Yeah,
he sold though, Joel
But he
Garner.
Was. I reckon there was one clip where he came across.
Pretty tough looking customer.
Run off his opponent, bang, came over, spoiled, got the ball, you know, showed some composure. And I thought that's he's standing up to AFL level well.
Yeah. The kids are good. There's no doubt about it. You go to Tassie on Saturday to take on the Hawks. This is a genuine 50-50 game. They were poor on the weekend. They've got McAvoy, their ruckman, out of the side. You guys should get Robbie Gray and Tom Jonas back. This is a winnable game.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, mate, you're going every week. We're positive, and I think this week we really need to make sure that the boys seem to travel pretty well, I think, and get them over to Tassie, and I reckon they'll put up a good fight.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in, Eva, and take care of yourself. Have a good couple of quiet weeks and
I will.
You got to do, obviously. Now, I just heard a Dickie Bird told me, have you branched out with Hey Diddle?
Hey, I have, mate.
You've added another...
Yes, a nice little rosé for all those ones that don't really like the heavy reds. We've gone to a little rosé, so we bottled that the other day, and... You know, whilst I haven't really had, I haven't had any of it yet, I'm pretty excited about it.
It's funny about that. He hasn't brought,
any in.
Now that you're not going to kick your 40 goals, just give us a six-pack of rosé.
Oh, mate, I think
I know. You haven't forgotten the bet.
No, we can do it.
Because you can concussion, you haven't forgotten your bet.
I haven't forgotten it, but I'm going to come hard in this.
Depends how many games he misses, Rui. We can do it on a pro-rata system. So 40 becomes...
I'll give you 5 to 1 if you want.
The Duckwell Lewis, I like.
Should have negotiated that before we put the bet on, son.
Good on you, Ebo. Take care, mate.
Thanks,
Brad Ebert from Port Adelaide. Hey, a clue coming up in just a moment for the $10,000 hearing test.
Yeah, give us a buzz. 1-3-3-5-3.
Yes, hello. Good morning, Limo.
Oh, g'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah,
hey,
good.
I'm just feeling a bit queasy this morning, guys.
Oh, are you?
I'm not 100%.
What's wrong?
Well, I've been listening to your show this morning, and I was listening earlier to that phone topic you did. What was it? Things you do when you're home alone and really bored, right? And I heard Dit say this.
Rectal massage. And just the rim. let's qualify that, please.
Yeah, come on, Lemo.
That was Dr. Carl telling us the remedy for hiccups.
We didn't expect it, and we're not sure if we even believe it, but Dits is prepared to try it out, and we'll get back to us.
This explains why Dits has never had hiccups. just a little preemptive massage.
He imagines that he does.
Dr. Carl said it's actually in a medical journal that is the best cure.
Yeah, but doctors don't.
Still going with standing upside down drinking water. Thanks all the same.
Okay. So how will that go down on the tram? Guys, I've got hiccups.
Tickle me. Right, Limo, move on.
Just a little massage if you wouldn't mind.
You always bring out the worst in us, Limo.
I'll tell you what, though, Ditz, you had a great bit of research this morning
that
I loved hearing the bit where you were talking about men and women. The research is out that we have different internal thermometers.
Yes.
So women, it's proven now that women actually like the room a bit hotter and men a little bit colder. And this, I loved hearing it because in our house, my wife, I swear, she has found a setting on our heater that I didn't even know it existed. It is post-tropical
in
our house. It is just ridiculous. And she's sitting on the couch in a ski jacket with a rug over her knees. I'm in my jocks sweating with my head jammed in the freezer door.
Yeah. You're losing weight.
I'm losing weight. I tell you, it's why women wonder why we always open the fridge door and just stare. It's because we're trying to cool down. That's why we do that. I'll tell you another area where men and women are different. I went to a poker night last night. Do you guys play poker?
Yeah, I love poker, but I don't play it often enough, Limo. Where do you go and do that?
It's good fun. Went around to a mate's place, a bunch of comedians get together.
Right.
And we played last night, and it occurred to me last night that men, in order to catch up, men need an excuse. You know, women will catch up for no reason, whereas men need a poker night or a golf trip. Ditz, you had a golf trip recently.
Yep. Mm.
Or we need to watch the footy together or speed dating at the Arca Bar, whatever it is. men need an excuse.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were sitting around last night. We were playing poker. And I said, I thought I'd be a legend. And I said, guys, I'm going to order a couple of family pizzas. Who's in? Yeah, no worries. I said, I'll get it on Uber. It's all good. I'll go Uber Eats. So I order a couple of family pizzas. Anyway, we're playing away. And then my phone rings. It's the wife. And do you guys panic whenever you're out of the house and the missus calls?
Yeah.
Well, I see her name. Her name comes up on my phone and I panic immediately. I just think, God, what have I done wrong? But like before I answer it, so I go through a list in my head. I'm like, oh, did I forget to pick our son up from daycare? No. Did I leave the back door open? No. Was I meant to have dinner with her and her mum tonight? No. Have I left something on?
Anniversary.
No. It's our anniversary. I didn't tell her I was going out. And eventually I answer the phone. I say, hello. She goes, hey, babe, how's poker night going? I go, yeah, good, good, good. She goes, hey, I've just had two family pizzas delivered to home here.
Oh, what?
Are they for you? Because you know on Uber Eats, it doesn't move to your location. Uber Eats stays at your home location unless you physically change it.
You That's need a half trap. An hour with Fev about Uber Eats because you know about Fev, don't you? Fev is the number one Uber Eats customer in Australia.
Yeah.
He spent $35,000 on Uber Eats in the last 12 or 18 months.
And if you see Fev with his shirt off, you can see exactly where that $35,000 went. he's not the greatest ad. Did he have a Jenny Craig deal for a while?
Yeah, he's a bit all over the shop.
Fev's 12 months on, 12 months off. Jenny Craig, Uber. So I said to the missus, do you mind dropping those the other side of town? Anyway, she told me I could stick those pizzas somewhere.
Yeah, exactly right.
That wouldn't provide much nourishment, to be honest.
You know the excuse for fellas to catch up. A group of my mates last year said to their wives, they're going on a golf trip to Thailand. And of course, there's always
been a the sticks.
That's it. Got to the airport and the wives have all said, this is a golf trip. None of you have got golf clubs. What's going on?
Come on, you blokes.
We just imagine it in our heads.
Good work, Lamo.
Yeah, good on you guys. And Dietz, we're playing on Saturday.
Yeah.
Have we got a bet happening?
Yeah. Can we have a bottle of Molly Duca?
Molly Duca.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's on.
All right.
You're on.
All right.
Bottle of red.
I was going to suggest a cask of Angos, but anyway, we'll go to Molly Duca.
All right, Lima. We'll catch you early next week.
Good on you guys.
Good on you, buddy.
There it is. 8:20 here on Triple M.
Angels up next.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruindis.
Oh, in full voice this morning, Mel the Button Pusher. We've got the WAG and Emma G. A terrible incident, Roo, we saw earlier this week. I think it was in the southern suburbs, wasn't it? Marion area.
Yeah, girl just going for a jog at night and out and about, and bloke come up and tried to pull her pants down.
I know. Mm. Shocking incident. The vision was just frightening. Mel, do you feel safe? Do you go out at night walking? Do you feel safe in Adelaide?
For a lot of people, me included, that's the only time I can go for a walk.
Yeah.
A proper walk if you just want to go out for some exercise without, you know, pushing the pram to the playground sort of thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, I do go for a walk on my own at night, and I do feel a little bit unsafe, but equally I don't think I should be stuck in my own house.
No.
Worrying about that sort of thing too much.
So do you go in areas where there's lights?
Yeah, I do. Like, I live near the Walker's Arms Hotel, so if I meet a friend for...
Walk to the pub.
Can't
count that.
Can't go wrong there. But I make sure I take the best lit streets to get there. And because I walk around my neighbourhood so much during the day, I actually know where all the druggies and weirdos live, nice. So I just avoid their places.
If you get it right, you could walk to the Walker's Arms, go to the Hampstead, come back via the Buckingham Arms. Alice the WAG.
I'm petrified. I would never go out at night by myself.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And if I get stuck in a situation where I am.
Hang on. Didn't you go out Saturday night by yourself?
Yeah, but I was in a cab.
Oh, right.
I wasn't walking.
Mm.
And I was
Do you feel safe in cabs?
Good times tour.
Do you girls ever, I mean, you are getting into a cab. I'm not trying to denigrate the cabbies out there at all, but I just wonder, you're getting into a car, whether it's Uber, a cab, whatever, with a strange person, is that off-putting or not?
Definitely. I'll get in and I sit, you don't sit behind them because then they can reach behind and grab your legs.
Right.
You sit the back seat diagonally from them.
Right.
And
behind and grab your legs.
How often does that happen?
No, that is a thing.
Are you serious?
Every girl does that.
Yeah, I always sit in the same seat you're talking about.
Yeah,
as well.
You never sit in the front seat.
So diagonally opposite.
Yeah, and I'll always text it, whether it's Joel or my mum or someone, the cab number without fail.
Yeah, right.
Because I just don't feel safe. And if they're dropping you at your house, they then know where you live.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. Like if I'm walking somewhere at night by myself, I'll walk in the middle of the road. Like so
it's lit up.
It's lit up and people can see you can run either side.
What about when you get Uber Eats dropped off at your house?
Hmm.
What about it?
They know your address then.
No, no, yeah, she knows all of them. They're on first name
basis. That's why you yell out, Joel, the Uber Eats is here.
Just so they know this.
So they think, because you're ashamed you ordered so much.
Joel, you big hunky man.
I also have a dog that's barking in the background, so
oh, yeah, right. Yep. Emma G, do you feel safe?
Yeah, I do feel safe. I walk a lot in the evenings, and I have felt, I've never really thought about, you know, being afraid until I saw this footage the other night, and I was actually like thought of it last night when I went for a walk, and I had it in my mind. I was like, gee, I should probably just have my wits about me a little bit more. I made sure that I usually have my headphones in and I just had one in so that I can sort of be aware to sneak of my surroundings a bit more. And like try not to be distracted by looking at my phone, just make sure I'm always kind of aware of what's happening. Yeah.
But do you feel equipped? If that vision you saw the other day, what would a girl do? Quite seriously. I mean, how can you retaliate or
scream your guts out?
Just scream, yeah.
There's this new device they're selling, and it's a keychain, and if you pull something out of it, it lets out this horrendously loud alarm scream noise.
Right.
So they're saying a lot of girls should have that on their keys so that they can pull it out and scare them off.
Mm-hmm.
Or just go straight for the
For the jewels.
Yeah, the crown jewels.
Righto.
That's what
all right,
you taught me to do.
Let's move on. Not a good topic, but let's move on. Rue, you were telling us earlier about your little girlfriend that lived over the road.
She wasn't a girlfriend. I just got teased about it.
Yeah. Well, why were you getting teased about it if she wasn't your little
girlfriend? Because they like teasing me.
Right.
And they knew I fired up about it.
I want to hear from Heidi. If you're listening this morning, 133353.
What was your little girlfriend?
Gail. I played doctors and nurses.
Get a restraining order.
Righto. Mel, grade one or... reception, kindergarten boyfriend?
No, we just played all together as kids. I don't even think we knew
played.
There was such... Oh, don't be silly.
Don't tell me you
talking
didn't play
about little kids.
Kiss Chasey or something.
You you did do Kiss Chasey, yes. And it was just you were just in screaming fits of giggles, but you didn't even know what you were doing.
Come on, who was the best kisser in kindy?
Brett.
Brett.
Brett!
No, we didn't do it. His name was Brett.
Righto, Alice the Wag, first boyfriend?
My first boyfriend, his name was Daniel Hiscock in probably prep. And he dumped me on my birthday because you know how you take your treats to your class? I took Whiz Fizz and I didn't give one to him because he was in another class and he cracked it and dumped me.
Yeah, I would too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But the first, like when I was a child, like a young kid, the first boy I saw naked that wasn't my brother was Dix's son.
Oh, what?
Did you have to go there?
What is going on here?
Did you have to bring that up? Oh, we went over to their place for a barbecue one day because I've known their family.
How old were you kids?
How old were you, about three?
Oh, like three and Tom
anyway,
was four.
Anyway, so Tom and Alice have disappeared.
3 and 4 years old.
Tom and Alice have disappeared for a while. And my wife goes upstairs and walks into the bedroom. They're both standing there naked, looking at each other, pointing at each other.
It runs in the family. Doctors and nurses did. You passed it on.
He did say
you don't need birds and bees, chats.
And it's funny. My wife never, ever told me about this. Apparently she just looked at you and she goes, get your clothes on, you kids.
She was horrified. But then it didn't come up. So then Tom and I, we would have been probably like 23 when we were out having a few
drinks. Could you remember it?
We both had never spoken about it and we both remembered it. So it didn't come out until we were having a couple of drinks and one of us said, hey, do you remember? And we both were like, oh my God, yes.
And do you know what he told me after I questioned him? He said, she made me do it.
Oh, no.
That's what he said.
He's a dipmar. Yeah. He made me do it.
Right, Emma G, grade one boyfriend?
Yeah, well, it was actually in reception. We all used to play Stuck in the Mud together at lunchtime. Stuck in the Mud.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's like Chasey, and when you get caught, you have to
stand
like
still.
Just
a
stand.
Starfish, and then to get saved, somebody has to crawl through
Run
your legs.
Run through your legs, yeah.
Yeah.
We could reignite this.
Oh, it's not like no twisted.
Start playing it in the woodshed.
Oh, no.
His name was Sam, and I really liked him. And so one recess time, I said to him, do you want to meet me at the stage? There was like a little decking thing at our primary school. And then we sat and we shared my bag of Cheetos.
That is true.
Did you kiss him?
No.
Oh,
did you lick the Cheeto dust off your fingers or something?
All right. Thanks, Angels. And Heidi, if you're out there, Rue's little girlfriend across the road.
Please ring.
Come on, 133353.
Please ring.
Oh, I just got 9 o'clock. That's just about it for us today, Rue.
All over Red Rover. It's a beautiful day out there today. Enjoy the sunshine. We've got rain on the way. We'll catch up with everyone tomorrow.
Hey, Alice the Wag's beside herself because her favourite singer is coming in to visit us tomorrow.
Who? Oh,
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Nah, tell us now.
No, I'll tell you tomorrow.
All right.
But Alice is in a flap, I can tell you. See you tomorrow.
Drop everything. It's the Chemist Warehouse half-price vitamin and cosmetic sale. Hurry, this sale won't last. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.